Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful singing. Thank you, Daryl, for the song selection. I'd like to welcome again the visitors that we have with us. We're very glad that you took time out of your schedule to worship with us. We've got people from right here in Las Vegas. We've got people from Tennessee and Bullhead City and again right here in Las Vegas. We would like to welcome you back whenever you get a chance. Have a few prayer requests that we'll address before we get into our lesson. Brandon sent in a card, kind of good news, bad news. His foot was examined this past Monday, and there is a partial ligament tear, and he will miss about 9 weeks. But he's not out for the whole season. And so we rejoice with that. We rejoice that God's given us bodies that heal. And we rejoice in the fact that God's given us modern medical technology to help facilitate that healing. So we will remember and keep Brandon in your prayers. Stacy kind of knows what that's been like, although she's not. There again, now that you're getting better, they may call you out for the Raiders to, you know. Have one that's not signed. I ask the church to forgive me of my sins. I think we've all signed that.
Amen.
Pray for traveling grace, as well as praying for wisdom, knowledge, peace, and discernment.
Amen.
Those are some of the same things that Paul has requested in his prayers. Melaine, as we're all very aware, she wants prayers for those that have been impacted by the recent disasters in Maui, Canada, Southern California, and also up in, I think it was Portland recently, some massive fires up there. And also as we, you know, Las Vegas drivers are crazy to begin with, much less you put a little rain on the highway. They're crazy. She wants prayers for all of us as we travel home safely and our loved ones. Pete is requesting prayers for his wife Tana and for Puka, who both have a cough and congestion right now and are not feeling well. So let's all go to God in prayer on behalf of these and offer up our prayers to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. Dear God, we ask that you be with us. We know you are if we seek you, but you're with us as we travel this life to stay on the straight and narrow, stay on your path. That's what you want for us. You want us to be obedient sons and daughters of yours. Dear God, we ask that continued prayers for Brandon as his foot heals. We ask that you be with all of us physically, our lives, to be able to serve you. Give us health, long life to serve you. Dear God, we ask that you be with the doctors as they are treating Brandon, and that he will be up and playing again in no time. Dear God, we also ask that you forgive all of us for the sins in our life and to give us knowledge, peace, discernment. And that comes through our effort and you opening our eyes. Dear God, we ask that you be with those people we don't even know, that have suffered disasters all over the world. People in war-torn countries, people that are suffering due to drought, people that have suffered these wildfires in Hawaii, in Canada, and so forth. We ask that you be with them. People are right now, some of them have lost everything. We ask that you be with them and let Christians be a light for them to flock to. Dear God, we ask that you be with those of us that have been sick, people like Puka and Tana that are sick right now. We hope that they are feeling better soon and be back with us soon. Dear God, be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope everything that has and will be done is in accordance to your word and pleasing to you. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. The title of our lesson today is "To Whom Shall We Go?" That was a question that Peter had asked of Jesus. This is the passage that Sam had read earlier. To whom shall we go? A lot of times, we as people get hit in the face, gut punched with things of life. None of us are immune to that. If you haven't suffered something like that in the past, I would like to meet you, because everybody I've ever known has suffered some sort of shock, disappointment, setback, something, a loss. And the setting is in John 6, starting in verse 66. And it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." The lesson could be just that verse. There's a lesson right there. Not everybody that maybe initially followed Jesus saw it through. Followed him for a while. Maybe they were following him for the free lunch. Maybe they were curious about the miracles. But for whatever reason, some went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus asked a very somber question, a serious question, a thought-provoking question to his disciples. Says, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else is there?'" Well, you've asked us a question. What options do we have? You are the only choice if we want eternal life. Where else shall we go? The fact that disciples turned and went back and walked with him no more is not a new concept. It's still with us. It's not just then. If we sat down, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you can probably think of disciples, Christians, followers of Christ that used to follow and for whatever reason went back and walked with him no more. There's probably people you know. You could probably make a list of people that decided to quit following Jesus. Now, I'm just me, not the sharpest spoon around. I can only think of two alternatives other than continuing to follow Jesus. One is, where are we going to go? Back to the world? You quit following Jesus. You want to go back to the world? Back to worldly standards of things rather than biblical and godly standards? You want to go back to sin? First one to tell you, there's a lure to sin. The devil knew what he was doing. It's attractive. There's a draw to go sin. In the world, the focus is on you. Want to quit walking and following Jesus to where I can focus on me? And that's what it boils down to. When we've become Christians, we died to our old selves.
Amen.
We died to sin.
Amen.
And some people, they walk with him no more. They want to go back into the world. Do the things I want to do. Not be held accountable. No one watching over my shoulder. God wants me to be happy. You know what he wants more than you to be happy? First of all, God does want you to be happy. He's given us things to be happy. But more than him wanting us to be happy, he wants us to be obedient.
Amen.
This is one of the choices. In Isaiah 5:20, seems like we've used this verse a lot lately. But it's applied a lot lately. Seems like this. I've used this verse, seems like every other week, to different lessons, but it applies. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what the world does. The world tries to disguise and tell us what we used to think is bad. Oh, that's okay. That's okay to do. It's not that bad. Or things we used to think was bad. Oh, no, those are good. The devil is the father of all lies. It was going on in Isaiah's time, and it's going on now for us. All you've got to do is open your eyes, and you look at the powers that be in the world. What they say is acceptable. What they say is okay. Calling good evil and evil good. In 1 John, the Apostle John wrote down the three pathways of sin. For all that is in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Mm-hmm. When we quit following Jesus, it might be for one of those reasons, or all. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Sometimes that pride of life can keep us from returning when we're jarred to our senses. Could you imagine the prodigal son? It said when he came to his senses, he's sitting there wishing he could have the food that the pigs were eating. And it said he came to his senses. Do you imagine if pride would have kept him from returning to the Father? And that does many times. That dirty dog devil pride. Three paths of sin. In 2 Timothy, this is generally accepted as the last of the writings of Paul. He's telling Timothy, be diligent. Paul's writing this from a Roman jail cell. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And he goes on. How sad. Demas loved the present world more and has abandoned Paul. At least in two places, in Colossians 4 and in Philemon 1, Demas is described as a fellow laborer of Paul's. Paul, I think Silas, Demas greet you for at least 5 years from the time that these were writing till here in 2 Timothy. Demas had served with Paul. Think of the training, the mentorship he got. But the pull of the world drug him back. That's one of the options. We can turn and go back to the world. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. How sad for somebody that has escaped the world and falls right back into it. Goes on to say, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But that is, as it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. And a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. That's a very visual image right there. That after we've escaped the world and died to sin, was baptized and our sins forgiven, to be following Jesus and then to fall back into it, to return to it. Sad. The only other option I see is you stay semi-religious, but you quit following Jesus, and are you going to go to a denomination? That way you can soothe your conscience. I'm being somewhat religious. Keep in mind, let's get definitions properly. A denomination is a portion of the whole. A portion of the whole. Most religious groups out there, and I say most because not all, most religious bodies have at least something right. They do something right. And the devil loves that. It appears religious, but it's not proper. But you can soothe your conscience by, well, I'll go to this place. Brother so-and-so offended me. I'm leaving the church, but I'll go to a denomination. Maybe one that's soft on sin. Maybe one that's not as condemning. Oh, preacher, you're always talking about sin. God's love. Yeah, God is love. But God's a jealous God. God is a demanding God. Maybe you go to a place where you'll get the feel-good lessons. You know what I'm talking about? You know, pep talks. Just build us up. Nothing condemning. While we're at it, let's go to a big denomination. One where we can fall through the cracks, not be noticed, that if we're not there for a Sunday or two or 10, nobody notices. And nobody's going to be holding us accountable to anything. Some people, they return to the world. Some want to keep a semblance of religious attitude in their life and maybe go to a denomination. And as in Isaiah 30, verse 10, it's written, don't prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophecy deceives. Don't say anything too harsh. All we want to hear is the nice thing. All we want is cotton candy. Tastes good, pretty, but absolutely no substance. A little bit earlier in the same chapter that he had written about Demas, Paul is telling Timothy at the beginning of the chapter. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And he goes on to say, for the time will come. There's going to come a time, Timothy, that they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. We're going to surround ourselves with people to tell us only the things we want to hear. Speak to us the smooth things. And Paul's telling Timothy that you preach the word. Amen. Case closed. This falling away and going to another religious activity is not something just of now or even of the New Testament. Look back in Deuteronomy. The Israelites had just escaped bondage out of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for 400 years. They saw the miracles that God performed, the plagues. They saw the Red Sea parted, and they escaped Egypt. They get out of Egypt, and Moses goes up and is in the presence of God, getting the law. And he comes back down to this. So I turned, talk about Moses. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire. And the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God and made for yourselves a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. You were still keeping a religious nature. You'd made a golden calf and were acting just like the knuckleheads that you had escaped from. The Egyptians did things like that. He turned aside quickly and perverted what the Lord had said. in Deuteronomy 28, we get the command, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God was very specific. You serve me and serve me only. Not a semblance of religion. You serve me and serve me the way I tell you. Paul wrote about the same thing in Galatians. In the first chapter, after the, hi, I am Paul, how are you, I am fine, opening. That's how I used to always write my grandma. Hi, Mama, how are you, I am fine. You know, that was my standard pad opening in my letters to my grandmother. He gets into it in verse 6. I marvel. I'm astounded. I'm beside myself. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. It's not a different gospel. But there are some of you who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. When we go to a denomination, that's what we're doing. We're perverting the gospel of Christ. We can either go back to the world or we can pervert the gospel and have a couple of toes in religion, but not ourselves. Goes right back. We'll end up with the verse we started with. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What about you? You know people that have done that. You know people that have fallen away, either back into the world, focusing on themselves, or they still want to feel somewhat religious and are maybe in a denomination. If there is another option out there, those are the only ones I could think of. Those are the only choices. There may be others that I'm not thinking of, but those are two big ones that people use. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul wrote, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Amen. We've all known people that have fallen away that we probably thought, oh, they're pillars of the congregation. They would never do that. We may even say it ourselves. It'll never happen to me. Take heed lest you fall. The lesson is yours. If the invitation applies to you to be baptized, if you have studied the Word of God and realized that to be a child of God, you have to be forgiven of your sins through baptism, we can accommodate you today. If you have fallen away, if you are one of the disciples that chose to not walk with Jesus any longer and are wanting to come back and get back following him, we can accommodate you. If you have prayers, we'll be glad to pray with and for you. If you're looking for a church home, if you've been traveling around the valley and looking at different congregations of the Lord's church, and obviously you've come here looking, we would love for you to come back and keep investigating. We are a congregation of the Lord's church that tries to follow the Bible the way God intended.
Amen.
Case closed. There's not a lot of whiz-bang, bells and whistles. Trying to follow God the way He intended. Whatever your need, if we can assist you, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.